So glad you're here this morning. I hope you feel the same way. I hope that you're excited to be in His presence. I hope you're, I hope God has already started to move in your life. I hope this last week that you had opportunities to serve. Just by a show of hands, sweet, I can see you now. Oh, maybe turn those back off. Just kidding. That's for you to see me. You don't want to see this. That's what my wife says, right? Right. All right. By a show of hands, did you have an opportunity this week to serve God? All right. Awesome. By a show of hands, did you say yes to it? Right? There's a big difference, right? Big difference. Like, it's great to have our eyes open and see where God wants us to move. But guess what has to happen? If he opens those doors, guess what we need to do? We need to walk through them, right? He is going before you and preparing the works. We talked about that last week. He is preparing the works for you personally. For you personally. He's got a job for you. And He needs you. He wants you. That's exciting to know. That you have a reason to wake up in the morning because it is to glorify God and do the works that He's already prepared for you to do. Right? Not me. He's prepared your path. Monday, when you wake up, think about that. He's preparing Monday to be a chance to celebrate and serve for Him. Whereas many people dread Monday, right? Maybe not some of you, right? But Mondays are coming. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you're just surviving to make it to Friday, right? Anybody? Just trying to survive to Friday, right? I want to challenge you in our hearts to think about this as the mission field. Wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever you're doing, is that God has laid a path already for you. You personally. To be a representation of His love, of how He's changed your life. Right? And to be an example of that in this world. We have been going through our mission as a church this last 3 weeks. All right, and we are a church that is going to connect, grow, serve. We're all about that, right? We want to connect with Jesus, each other. We want to grow closer in relationship with God and each other. And we want to serve God and His people and the people that is outside these walls to be representations of Jesus. Right? This week, I want to kind of rehash that. I want to give us the understanding that when we meet as a church, when we are a church, this is who we are. When Springfield First is said, Springfield First Nazarene Church, when you say we go there, we want you to understand that we are not just a church that meets here on a Sunday, but we are a church that connects with God and its people and the people around us with Jesus. That we are a church that wants to grow. And you can take that any way you want. Numerically, sure. But really, we want to grow in a deeper relationship with God. And what I have found through my years is if we have a church that wants to do that, guess what starts to happen? God starts to bless us, and people want, they're attracted to this. They are. They want God's authentic love, and they want it through you. And if we grow deeper with God, guess what starts to happen? We start to have authentic relationship with other people because of what God has done in us. Right? And then we want to be a church that serves. Yesterday, it felt like a week ago, right? We had a huge crowd here for work day. Many hands made the work go so fast. And the dream right now, as we already heard, we have a school moving into our facilities. We have almost 150 students and teachers and administration moving into this place. You know, I've moved quite a bit in my years of life, all over the place, and I've taken, those have been times in our life that was like, okay, we don't need this anymore, right? Maybe we're just lazy because we're like, I don't want to move it. But in reality, we've just taken that time to go, okay, this isn't really necessary. We're not really, how do we put it? We're not the most, we don't have treasured items, right? We don't have collections of stuff. All the baby stuff is gone. Sorry. Oh, we have some stuff. I don't know where it's at, right? Right? It's probably good I don't know where it's at. I'll be like, oh, that's trash, right? Yeah, your blankie is trash, all right? All right? But it's adorbs. Anyway, we know what it is to move. And moving is not fun. Anybody move recently? Yeah, it's not fun, is it? It's a lot of work. We are moving an entire school in, and it's going to take a community to make this happen. And I want to give props to Peg. I left this last week. I went on vacation. Yeah. Busiest week we've probably been. It was not scheduled, it wasn't planned, but I think God has ordained it, you know. And Peg was here, and I knew, you know, the 2 weeks ago, the principal came in, and he was like, hey, I need this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, the boss isn't here right now because she was on vacation the last week. So Peg came back, and she had to answer all those questions. But, man, God is doing something. And the people in the hearts that showed up, first off, I want to say, and I'll take complaints. If anybody has concerns or worries of stuff that's going to happen here, I'm willing to listen to it. I want you to know that, because it's going to disrupt us. It's going to look different. But I want to give you guys high praise. Do you know that I haven't heard a single complaint? I haven't heard, I've heard more of, man, I'm excited of what God's going to do. That cherishes my heart. As a pastor, that I am so excited to be your pastor for a couple of reasons. And this is one of them, that we are excited that we understand that this is building. We poured our heart and blood and soul into this building. And we want to see it used for God. That we don't want to just sit still. And if another situation comes where they can be blessed by it, let's do it. That's exciting. I want you to know, I've been to other places that are like, nope, can't do it. What if it would get in the way of my knitting club? I'm not kidding you. Right? These are the things that we're not having to do. We understand, hey, this is a ministry opportunity. And in that, I feel like what has happened is a light switch has clicked on. Right? I don't know about you, but I do shopping sometimes, and I always get the wrong stuff. Somewhat unintentionally and sometimes not. It's one of those things that God's working on my heart. If I buy the wrong stuff, what happens is my wife says, okay, you don't do this right, I'll do it myself. Smart, smart. Right? There was this time, and we've never bought chicken drumsticks in my life that I remember, right? And on the list, it just said drumsticks, 12 of them. I was like, man, I'm excited about this. This is awesome. She put it on my list. So you know what drumsticks I got? Those kind that are ice cream. 12 of them. And you know who wants me? My kids want me to shop all the time. Since then, right? Right? I went shopping this time and bought some light bulbs, and I got the wrong kind of light bulbs. I got the hospital version of light bulbs, and when you turn them on, you're like, whoo! We see everything, right? All the stains that have been hidden forever. I decided we moved it to the bathroom. We changed out the lights, and that was a big mistake, too. You're like, oh. You'd rather just get ready in the dark, right? It's just that one of those things like, oh, I look that bad? Don't want to go out in public. I bought those. That was a huge mistake. We put those in case of emergency now, right? It's just, you're like, oh, let's live in the dim, right? And I say that because in reality, I think some of us have enjoyed living in the dim Like, we want the light on. We want to be able to see where we're going. We want to be able to know that God is leading us. But let's dim it down so I don't have to see everything. Because when we're shown everything, it shows all the stains. It shows all the mistakes. It shows where I've gained some. It just shows everything, right? And it's unappealing for the most part. And God's light, when we turn it straight on, man, it's revealing. When we say, God, be in my life, I want you here, and we say yes to that, it's like flicking on that switch, full high beams and everything, and it's showing us exactly the stuff in our life that we need to examine, that we need to approach and go, okay, God, this is the area in my life that I need to change. I need to allow you to come in and clean up. And not allow my shame to rule here, but to allow my life to be changed for eternity. Right? It is His blood coming in and changing that and cleansing that. Right? And we need to be a church that's like that. Right? And we start with connecting. And who is Springfield First? We're this. We are a church that connects. And when we flip that switch on, we understand a couple things, too, in this mindset, that we understand that we are not a church that sits here idly by, that I need to make an effort in my relationship with Jesus, that it's on me personally, it's on you personally to do that. That I can't just come over to your house every day and go, okay, it's time to wake up. You need your Jesus time. It's not going to work. It'd be kind of weird, right? And if you're waiting every Sunday to get your Jesus, if you're waiting just to have a relationship every Wednesday or Sunday and that's it, it's unhealthy. It's not good. We need to be a church that is connecting daily with Jesus. We find this in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. It said, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I call you my friend. We are called to be friends with Jesus. And He's made everything known to us. Right? But the only way that we can be in the know is if we have that light switch fully on. Right? And this is the other thing with us. We have had the tendency for years, not just Springfield First, church in general, is this idea that once we became an address, once we became something of a building, and we think church is a building, we've missed the whole point. Jesus has called us the church, you people. He didn't look at this plot of land and said, this is holy. He said, where you are, where two or three meet, not an address, where two or three meet in my name, I am there, and that is holy. Right? So we are meeting in Jesus' name. Guess what? This is the holy place. You might not feel holy this morning, and that's okay. You don't make it holy. Jesus does. Understand what it is to be holy. Right? We don't do anything. We don't earn it. We can't work for it. It is only by the grace of God that we understand what holiness, love, it looks like. It is through His grace and mercy that He's reached out to you. Right? So we turn this switch on and we understand we are to connect with Jesus. We also turn this switch on to understand, okay, my life cannot just sit idly by. I am called to connect with each other. He calls us not to give up the weekly meetings. He calls us to make sure we are together. Why? Why is it so important for us to meet together? So we know how to love each other. So we know that we're not in this alone. There's a lot of people in our world today that are lonely. We have a lot of people in our world today that have given up hope because they feel like they're in this boat of life by themselves and it's sinking. Can you imagine being in a giant boat in this world of your life and just water keeps coming up and you're the only one able to clear it out and you're the only one carrying this load? Maybe this morning you feel like that. And I would ask you to flip the switch on and understand you are called here to commit, to connect with each other and to let each other carry burdens with each other. If there's issues, if there's worries, if there's pains, there's agonies, you are not called to carry it alone. Do you know that? We live in a world, I know I grew up in a world that we're like, okay, to be a man, you have no problems because nobody should have to know that you have any problems, which is crazy. I'm a bundle of problems. That ain't funny. Just kidding, it's funny. But I am. I have my issues. I have my hang-ups. And guess what? If I don't have people in my life that I can communicate with, that I can spill out the issues that I have, I will just be a wreck. I will question everything I do. I will get to a point where I'm like, I don't even think I can take the next step. I don't think I can be up on this stage. I don't think I can do that. I don't, like, my life becomes something that is just resembles that I'd rather just sit down, sit in my little spot. Please just talk to me and let me be. Because I want to be isolated. It's comfortable. You flip that switch on. You cannot be isolated. He's called you to be in a community. And that means, hey, in here, guess what we need to do? We need to know each other's names. In fact, we need to even have more of an intention with each other where we are taking each other out to eat. We are having more of an intention spiritually where I'm knowing how to pray for you. I know the struggles that you face. We're not a Sunday church. We're a Monday through Sunday church. You understand that you are called to be more than just this moment on a Sunday morning. That you love each other the way the world has never seen before. Right? So when we flip, this is huge. And the next part of connect is this, that we understand I'm supposed to go and connect with those who are lost. That I can't just sit by. When I flip that switch on, my eyes are aware of those who need grace and mercy and peace and restoration. They need Jesus. And I don't just sit there and go, ha, they need Jesus. When I flip that switch on as a church and as a person in this church, I understand that I am the representation of Jesus to them. And unless I say something, be something, live out Jesus in their life, which is what I am called to do. That is what you are called to do. That's connecting. We are a church that connects. Next is, we are a church that grows. This is one of the things in the areas that, and I love that it's sandwiched in between serve and connect. Because I think it feeds into both. Because I think connect, if you do it, if you step out of your comfort zone in all those areas, guess what you'll do? You'll grow. You just will. And if you serve, I've seen it in my ministries before, that people grow the most when they're actually giving everything they can for Jesus. When they step out of their comfort box and they go and help build a church or build a home or go to the mission field, guess what? And they have no experience. And they have no idea, like, okay, I put up a building. How did that happen, God? I've asked that, and I've walked away from things that I've put together, and like, God, only your grace will keep that up. Right? But God is good, and you learn, you feel those things, and grow is huge, and you flip that switch on for grow, and you have that desire that you want nothing more than to feed your life with Scripture and feed your life with community that's based around prayer and based around Bible studies and based around rooted groups, based around small groups, that you understand that growth comes from those things. But growth isn't just about eating it in. It's not about just taking it in. It is actually living it out. I would say we have a generation of people that are abundant with knowledge of Scripture. Abundant prayers. Like, we have prayer lines. I remember at the beginning of COVID at Decatur First, man, we had staff members that were dedicated just to praying. Like, we would go and write out all the prayer requests that they would write, that they would want on the sidewalk. But the reality is this, it was feeding to them, and they were able to just sit down spiritually and do nothing. It was just being fed to them. You get that? That's not growing. That's consuming. We're not a church that just consumes. We're a church that takes and moves with it, exercises it out, lives out what we just read, what we just took in, is willing to be committed to it, because when we flip that switch on, we understand we can see God's path from that point on. And what I just heard in Scripture and what I just felt in prayer and how God's Spirit is moving in me, and He said, hey, I need you to do this, we can no longer just sit there. We have to actually live out that call. What He's put before us. I don't know about you, but I love eating. I do. And if there's a good steak in front of me, I love a good filet. Yeah, right? I'm talking about food. I know it's early. Sorry. But I love a good filet. And it's where you hit that smell, right? And it just hits you, and you're like, oh, and your mouth starts to water already, and you're like, okay, let's dig in. Oh, and before you even take a bite, you're like, this is a good meal. Like, those meals are like few and in between, right? But man, you cherish those meals. You're like, oh. Do you know, like, until it hits my mouth, it's not a meal, but I could feel the smell. I've already ate. Oh, I could eat this again already. Right? I'll take another one. Which brings me back to, I could tell you a story about me eating 2 steak meals in 1 dinner. Oh, that's how crazy I am. All right? But God wants us to take that meal that He's prepared and to take it and consume it and live it out. And when we flip the switch on, we cannot just sit idly by and watch and be force-fed. You are called to grow. And I truly believe this. I've seen this. If we are a church that is desired to grow spiritually, guess what God tends to do? He blesses us with people that need that same kind of stuff that we are feeding ourselves with. People will start to be attracted to it and want to come and just know, hey, I see that you're living out what God is preaching to you, what God is saying to you, what God is giving you. I see that love and compassion and kindness, and you're living in a different state that I've ever been in, and I want to know this. And these seats that are empty, they'll start to be filled. Because people want what we have when we flip the switch on. All right? We are... you find this in Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. When we grow, we know where our security is. We're strong. We're no longer infants in our faith. We are strong. And again, many people take this as, okay, then I'm ready to fight, and I'm ready to give my scripture opinion. I'm ready to, let's go. You got a problem? You're an atheist? Okay, let's go. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is, yes, be fearful of what people teach. Even up here, I want you to be holding me accountable. I want you to hold me accountable to Scripture. And guess what that means? You are called to read Scripture. Not just read it, but know it. Not just know it, but live it out. And when those things start to happen, guess what? You are no longer based on somebody else's relationship with God and their knowledge. You are based in the knowledge of your own relationship with God, because you start to live out the things that you're reading, the things that God is saying to you. And you live out your faith, right? We are a church that serves. I look out at this church, and this is something I go, I'm super proud of. I think becomes like it's a natural for you. I'm willing to serve. Right? And we do. We are called to serve. And one of those areas in our church that we will focus on is knowing how we can love each other and serve each other and be there for each other, because that's what God has called. If you look at Acts, the beginning of the church, they brought all their stuff together. Do you know why they brought all their stuff? It wasn't because their stuff was wrong. It wasn't because, you know, Jesus didn't say, give up everything and follow me in that church. What he said is, like, that church recognized, okay, we have all these things, these goods, all this stuff that we have, and it can benefit all of us. And so, like, they brought it all together and, like, hey, we're going to make a covenant. And they, like, can you imagine all of us standing up together and bringing all our stuff, all our deeds, all our money, everything that we have, and, like, put it in a pile, and we go, okay, let's walk a covenant walk around it. And what that covenant walk was is just saying, what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. And I look at us as one family, and we're going to move. And what it was is this church understood what it meant to serve. To love each other in this fashion of, like, my stuff isn't connected to me, you are. And if I can use my stuff to glorify God, I will. And I see that in our church. I see that heart there. Do you know what I think that I would love to see us kind of transform in the next couple of years is that we also understand we are called to serve our community. We are. We are called to be servants in this community. That we see the needs. Do you remember what Jesus says? When you fed the homeless, when you fed the hungry, when you clothed the naked, when you fed me, when you clothed me, when I was in prison, and they started asking, when were you all those things? And he said, when you did these things to the least of these, you did them to me. You understand, we are a part of a community, and the community, whether they reject us, whether they are happy to have us, no matter what, we are here and we are called to serve them the way Jesus has served us. And if you remember, we find this in Matthew 20:28, and these are huge words. This is Jesus saying this. This is Jesus saying this. And if Jesus says this, we need to take note and flip that switch on and ask ourselves, how I've been doing this? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. You see, this is the church that I want us to be, and I think God wants us to be. It's more important what God wants us to be, right? He wants us to be a church that's connected to him, that's growing with him, and he's saying, hey, this is your mission field, go serve. You are called. And we are no better than Jesus, right? He is our perfecter. He is one that when he walked on the ground, we should bow down wherever he was. He's our Savior. And he didn't come to be praised the way humans want to be praised. He came to serve us. He came to love us. And this is the question. Do you think you have to earn that love? Do you have to work for that love? Absolutely not. You can't do anything for that love. It's given freely to you. And this is the hard part. He calls us to live in that with him. To look at this world that sometimes is unlovable. Sometimes we'd rather be disgusted by, frustrated by, justifiably angry at. But when you look at this scripture, we have no place in that for us. And you can easily probably put names in there. You could put faces in that spot that you're like, man, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. That person just deserves a good smack to the face instead of a hug from me. They've done me completely wrong. I want you to know, Jesus understands that. And it is only through Jesus that we can live out this verse. It is only through Jesus that we can love the unlovable. It is only through Jesus that we can serve those that in our being, it's difficult. We are a church that connects, grows, and serves. That's our mission. I want us to understand that. I want us, every time we meet together, every time we have an event, which we have a couple things going on. We have, you see this piece of paper? We have things going on, right? We have things going on. If you look at it, we have August 13th, Soul Sisters. Do you know what that is? That is a chance to connect and grow. Is that right? Did I get it right? Soul Sisters, their shopping trip. Do you know that God can be in the middle of that? He can. You can invite somebody intentionally to be a part of that, and guess what? They're trapped in that car with you. Right? We have next August 14th, we're having backpack blessings. So any kid that's going to school, guess what? We want to have them, and it's going to be at the beginning of the service. We're going to just pray over their backpacks. Actually, we're going to just pray over them. But those backpacks are going to represent the love that they're going to carry with them through school, that they need to know that God's going through school with them. Right? And that school, guess what, is their mission field from K till 12th grade. And they're little missionaries. They're big missionaries. And that we have a church that's here to help them mature and connect that way. Right? August 17th, we have leadership training for small groups. If you want to be a leader, come that day. It's at 5:30. It's training. Guess what that is? We're a church that's going to grow. We're going to learn some new skills. Maybe you're like, I have that twinge. I think I'm called to be a small group leader, but I've never done it. Guess what? I hope and pray that you're here that day. I hope and pray that you hear that call and you're like, okay, God has put this on my heart. I need to be a small group leader. I need to be trained, right? Again, we're doing stuff, right? Next Sunday, you're going to hear about the block party and what that is all about. And you're going to be like, we're going to have a sermon series just leading up to the block party. And all that is about us being the church that's connecting, growing, and serving our community. Connecting and serving and growing. Oh, man, I'm really messing this up. Connecting, growing, and serving God. Right? That's what it's about. We are a church that does that. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. And we're going to take communion. And I decided to do communion today, to give an opportunity as a church to solidify the idea of we are all sitting around this dinner table with Jesus right now. And he has called us as disciples, as people that love Jesus, to live out his mission, to be and go and make disciples in this world. And as he sat there, he gave them that mission. Ushers, go ahead. Let's pass it.